many's are aware, I've seen different things where they're persecuting Christians already, and many Christians perhaps will lose their lives. But let's just keep those precious brothers in our prayers, praise God. Can we turn to number 644? And Terry had mentioned that hymn, Jesus Will Steal From Me. We're going to try and sing it, maybe just before the pastor comes. Number 644, what a wonderful change in my life has been wrought since Jesus came into my heart. And we haven't been able to stand for a long time, so we're going to stand this morning. And you know, forgot all about it, you know, but let's sing this one. What a wonderful change in my life. Wonderful words. Jesus was slain for me. Yeah. 177 provinces.
Jesus was slain for me, and I the Lord bless each and every one this morning, and we do give you a very warm welcome in our service this morning, and we just trust the Lord will bless you. And you know what, it's a blessing to gather together for communion. It's been a long time. I'm sure it's well over a year since we had communion service. And we just appreciate the Lord that we could come together this time for communion service. And I want to talk this morning about the real revelation of true communion. And I believe there's healing in communion. And I want to bring that out from the Word of God, if I can, this morning. That there's healing in communion. I was up from 6:30 this morning, and I slipped out of bed, was just praying and waiting on the Lord. And you know, this scripture came to me. It's not part of what I want to preach, but this kept coming to me this morning from 1 Corinthians 13, and I want to read it before I go into this message this morning. And the Lord bless you all. We'll be back again here this evening at 4:30. We're going to leave our times the same. I think most people's happy with the times the way they are. If we do change times, we'll change all our banners and leaflets and different things. So we're happy with that, and I trust it will suit, praise God. And also, Brother Ian, if any youth is interested for the youth work, see your Brother Ian and Brother Gary. And even if it's only once a month or once a fortnight, whatever way the Lord leads for to try and start to do a bit of a youth work, we have freedom here. Whenever we want this hall, we are allowed to use it, as if nobody else is in it. And we appreciate that we can have this hall today for to come and meet the Lord. Though I speak with the tongues of men and angels and have not charity, I am become a sounding brass or a tinkling cymbal. Though I have the gift to prophesy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity, I am nothing. And though I have bestowed all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, I profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, and it's not puffed up. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in truth.
Amen.
Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part shall be done away with. We know ultimately, that's the coming of the Lord. Verse 11, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face.
Hallelujah.
Now I know in part, but then shall I know, even as also as I am known. That's this body change, that's the coming of the Lord. And now by the faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity,
amen,
which is love. We certainly believe in the gifts of the Spirit, but if you haven't got love, your gifts mean absolutely nothing.
Absolutely.
Love is the greatest thing.
Amen.
And the Bible says we're to love one another.
Right.
And pray one for another. Now this is not part of my message, but at 6:30 this morning, I got this scripture and I wanted to read it. Maybe it's for me, maybe it's for somebody else. But it's the Word of God. Now I want to turn also to 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. And in verse 7, I just want to read one verse this morning. 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. It's really the latter part of the verse. Purge out therefore the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump, as ye are unleavened. For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Hallelujah.
When we do this communion, that bread's unleavened. You're not meant to use leavened bread. It has to be unleavened.
Amen.
And Jesus said, "Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees," which we know is false teaching. But the latter part, that the Spirit, the verse 7, "For even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us." Christ our Passover. I want us to pray again. I want to remember this morning Gary's sister Karen in prayer as well. We were praying on Wednesday night. We want to pray again. She fell and hurt her head. And also we do agree and pray for those people that suffer in Afghanistan at the moment, and it's terrible, really. And you know, it's something, it's really something. Maybe we don't think of it, but you, I want you to get this for a moment before I pray. Think of God said to you, "Pack your case in the morning. Leave your children and your wife and go on the mission field." I'm telling you, it's a massive commitment to do it. Even for a couple of weeks, it's hard. For 3 or 4 weeks, it's difficult. But you imagine people that went for months. You read about John G. Lake, lost his family and everything. And he went out for God. He was sold for God. And I've heard people condemn him, but he was sold out for the Lord. Jesus said, "If you love anything more than me, you're not worthy of me." You come with nothing that we're to love more than the Lord. Let us bow our heads. And while our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed, if you have a request, just slip your hand up before the Lord this morning. And we're going to pray. Praise God. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we bow before you earnestly. And we come from thy footstool into thy very throne room and into thy very presence. In and through the name that thou hast set far above every other name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that we have open access because of the rent veil at Calvary. We bless thee that we can come into your very Shekinah glory and into your very presence. We thank you that you promised for 2 or 3 are gathered in your name, that you will be in the midst of that to bless us. Father, we have come to seek your blessing. We haven't come to find favor with some man. Amen. But we've come to find favor with the Lord Jesus Christ and his blessing. We would lift before you Sharon this morning. And Father, we would ask for thy mighty touch upon her. In the name of Jesus Christ, heal her and save her, we pray. We claim her under the token in Jesus Christ's name. We ask also for these dear people and our brothers praying for already, Lord, that you will do all that's been praying in Jesus Christ's name. Now I do take the Holy Ghost to help me, and I thank you that you do in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. This is a time of communion where we are to come not to think about ourselves, but we are to think about the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross. This is what this is all about. It's not about me and it's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. We're reminded of his Last Supper, how he initiated communion as a memorial of what he would accomplish. Many Christians today don't fully understand communion. They don't have the real meaning, knowing of communion. I'm not saying that to be critical, but I just want to show you from the Word of God really what it means this morning, real communion. And I'm going to try and be as low as I can, and that's difficult for me. The voice echoes a bit in here, but I hope it's all right with everybody. You get criticized, so it'll not bother me too much. I'm well hardened now, and praise God. I don't want to try and be too loud, but I want to just show you this. Jesus Christ was God's response. Hear this now, for man's need for forgiveness and healing. And every single one of us has need for forgiveness and healing. And once you're saved, you're not the elite that you never sin or fall short. Every one of us makes mistakes. And every one of us falls short. That's why he is our advocate. Amen. He is one that we continually can come to. That's why we need to meet and hear the word of God. The word of God's a cleaner.
Amen.
Jesus said you're now clean through the words I've spoken over you. William Morgan Branham said there's more devils cast out by the preaching of the word than any other way.
Amen.
God's word preached will drive devils out.
Hallelujah.
While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on them. And as Philip preached, demons come out.
Amen.
1 Corinthians tells us, in this verse where we've read, Christ our Passover sacrificed for us. And I'm going to try and not be very long because I want to do the communion. Forgiveness and healing. Now I want us to think back to the children of Israel. And you have to think back. That's why you have your Old Testament and your New Testament. So that you can have the full canon of Scripture. The Word of God. God's truth. When we think back, we see what it means for Christ to be our Passover today. And when we look back what the Passover did in Exodus coming out of Egypt, then that represents to us today our Passover lamb, which is the Lord Jesus Christ. To better understand this, we have to go back to the Passover lamb in the Old Testament. It brought spiritual and physical deliverance. Spiritual and physical deliverance.
Hallelujah.
It brought spiritual deliverance because the Bible says, when I see the blood, I will pass over thee.
Hallelujah.
It brought physical deliverance.
Amen.
For the word of God says he came out.
That's right.
And there wasn't even a feeble one amongst
Amen.
Them.
Amen.
Remember also that the Bible says about Moses, he was 120 years of age and his eye was not dimmed.
Amen.
That's the healing and saving power of Jesus Christ in our Passover lamb.
Amen.
That's what real communion means. Look at Exodus 12, verse 3 and verse 6. Speak ye unto the congregation of Israel, saying, in the 10th day on this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. So every house had to have their own lamb. And I know I often say this, your father's experience and your mother's experience won't do for you.
Right.
And you know, I'm in a stage, I've children now that's grown. Now I would love some of them to be here this morning, but I cannot pick a rope and tie them in one of them chairs. I can't do it. They'll have to be born again themselves.
Right.
They'll have to be saved themselves. They'll have to come to the Lord. I could soldier them and tell them what way to comb their hair and what way to do their tie-up. And what way to dress. I could do all that. And that's wonderful. Train a child in the way of the Lord. And they'll not depart from it. But ultimately, if they're not saved, they're still lost. For God's no grandchildren. And I tell you, every one of us has to have our own lamb.
Amen.
We have to make Jesus Christ our personal lamb. Verse 6 says, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month. And the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. Verse 7. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts of the upper door. And the posts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. So they were not only to use the blood, but they were to eat the lamb. And Jesus said, if you don't drink my blood and eat my flesh, you have no part with me.
Right.
And some people, you know, thought he was a sort of a vampire. But he didn't mean it. Physically eating them, but spiritually we have to eat the Word of God.
Amen.
The Word of God's bread.
Great.
You know, when Reinhard Bonnke was a man that I heard a lot when I first got saved and I was in jail. And Brother Andrew sent me a book of Reinhard Bonnke into jail. And I was so thrilled with the ministry and the life of Reinhard Bonnke, especially because he was called Africa and had a vision for Africa. But when Reinhard Bonnke was only a little boy, a woman stood up and she prophesied and she said, I see a young man breaking bread to thousands and millions of black people. The bread of life, God's word. And God wants us to eat his word. He wants us to eat it, he wants us to chew it, he wants us to digest it, and he wants us to put backbone on us, muscle on us. Spiritual muscle is what the church needs today. And the church will never spiritual muscle by emotion.
Right.
But the word of God, feeding on the word of God, gives spiritual muscle.
Amen. Right.
Your emotions could let you down, your feelings could fail you.
Well.
You could be depending so much on feeling.
Right.
What if you don't feel it?
Right.
A woman said to me when I got saved, she said, Tom, you're not saved because you feel saved. You're saved because of Romans 10, verse 9. Whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Amen.
That's why you're saved. How do you know you're saved? I guarantee you. When the devil tells you you're not saved, that's how you know you are saved. He never told you before you got saved.
Right.
But not you're saved, he wants to tell you you're not saved. Because he wants to put you back, but God wants you to take forward.
Amen.
There's a lot of people that stumble you. There's a lot of, you know, there's a wee bird and he robs nests.
Yep.
And he steals the other birds, the cuckoo. He robs the wee nests and he steals the wee eggs of all the other birds. And there's a lot of cuckoos about. They'll never bring nobody in, but they'll chase plenty away.
That's it.
And I tell you, that's a terrible thing if you stood before God. If you're not going to be with somebody that's winning souls, don't hinder them.
That's right.
And he that wins souls is wise.
Amen.
Every one of us in these pews this morning that's saved have a commission.
Right.
And that commission firstly is to our own family. And we're to be witnesses, but we can't be witnesses if our life's not worthy of the gospel.
That's right.
Our life must be worthy of the gospel. Others must see Jesus in us.
Amen.
Says in verse 8, and they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs shall they eat it. Verse 13, and the blood shall be to you for a token upon the house. And it goes on, when I see the blood, I will pass over you. No plague.
Amen.
No plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt.
Thank you, Jesus.
Some of us have maybe caught COVID, but it never destroyed us.
Amen.
We're still here. We're here. And I'll tell you, thank God we're here. And you know, I've told testimony the Lord healed me. And I know some people think that's a bit of a bluff and a bit of a boo-hoo. But people's died with it.
That's right.
It's real. The Lord's real.
Amen.
Ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. And they shall take the blood and strike it on the two side posts and the upper door posts of the houses where they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in the night. And the blood shall be to you for a token. God requires to see the blood.
That's right.
The blood in the basin's all right, but it won't do. It has to be applied. The blood of Jesus must be applied to your heart, to your life.
Amen, amen.
Jesus' blood cleanses from all sin. It cleanses from all unrighteousness. I will pass over you. The sacrifice of the Passover lamb had two parts to it. I want you to think of these this evening, these two parts. The first one's forgiveness. Forgiveness. Many of us want God to forgive us, but we are not willing to forgive others.
That's right.
It's a hard thing when somebody wrongs you that you have to pray for them and get down on your knees and say, Lord, forgive them. They thrashed me, but Lord, forgive them.
That's right.
Isn't it hard? But we're to do it. Jesus said, if you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you.
Right. Absolutely.
Forgiveness. Where the Lamb's blood redeemed the children of Israel from the destroyer. The blood of Jesus saves you from the destroyer.
Amen.
After your life in this earth's finished, you'll go to heaven if you're saved.
Hallelujah.
That's what it's all about. The second thing's healing. Where the Lamb's broken body brought physical healing, wholeness. It brought wholeness to all that eat it. As you take this bread and drink this wine this morning in remembrance of the Lord, it brings you wholeness. Wholeness. Wholeness means completeness. God wants you to be saved and he wants you to be healed.
Amen.
When the children of Israel left Egypt after eating the Passover lamb, every one of them had excellent health. Psalms 105, verse 37. He brought them forth also with silver and gold. And there was not a feeble one amongst them. You know what that means?
Yeah.
Wavering or stumbling.
Glory.
There was nobody wavering. I don't know if we'll go this morning. There was no wavering. There was no stumbling. They were sure.
Amen.
Christ is always sure.
That's right.
You see, if God's going to lead you somewhere, you need to be sure for your going. It won't lead you into willy-nilly land. Let me tell you, I received a prophecy in 1990. 91 that I would go to Africa and Asia, and that prophecy said you'll see thousands come. And as I sat in the service, I said to myself, sure, how would I go? I haven't a penny, only out of jail. How would it go? And the word came back again and said, I'll send you, never mind how. I'm your source. I'm your provider. I've sat before you an open door, no man will shut it.
Amen.
It's a tough job if you're trying to close a door and somebody God's opened.
That's right.
What would be the point of that?
That's right.
Either you believe God's word or you don't. But you know what I'm going to tell you? I waited for about 13 years before I ever went to Africa. I could have borrowed money or got a flag. I could have went, but I didn't do it till God made the way. If God calls you to do something, He'll make the way. That's how you know it's the will of God. If you're going somewhere and the way is not me, it's not God. God will make the way. He furnishes a table in the wilderness. Forgiveness and healing, spiritual and physical wholeness. Sin is broken fellowship with God. When we are born again, we receive remission of sins. Acts 2:38. We repent ye therefore and be baptized. Every one of you doesn't say three titles.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
On that scripture alone, there's a lot of people wouldn't believe that, but it's the Bible.
Amen.
You have to understand when people don't believe that, they're rejecting the truth of the Word of God. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. That gift of the Holy Ghost doesn't mean you'll speak in tongues. That means eternal life. That's what that gift is. It's eternal life. Now I believe in speaking in tongues. And I do speak in tongues. But the gift of the Holy Spirit is eternal life. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Romans 3:25. If we sin, after that time we confess our sins. John 1:1-9. 1 John 1:9. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You're not here this morning to be condemned. I'm here to tell you that God can still forgive you when you're saved. And there'll be times in every one of our experiences we backslide, we fall short, we get away from God. You know when somebody's backslidden or crabbing? Nothing works right for them, sure it doesn't. Because if you're not where you should be with God, the Spirit of God will stir your nest. But thank God He says He'll forgive us. That gives us spiritual wholeness. Spiritual wholeness. When we believe that we have spiritual wholeness, we can claim the physical healing that Jesus Christ purchased for us on the cross. But we must first come for forgiveness. The Bible says, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord won't hear me. Is that the word of God? 1 Peter 2:24, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Past tense. It's already done. Jesus Christ bore our sins on the tree, shed his blood for our forgiveness of sins. That is why we can live unto righteousness. His body was broken on the tree so that we could be healed. He was broken so that we could be healed. He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed.
Amen.
Now I want to go and show you this, these few words this morning, and I have a lot of hay in the fork, but don't worry, I'm not going to try and preach it all. I'm just going to say whatever I feel led, and I'll finish it that, and we'll have communion. Christ has done it for us. Do you believe that this morning?
Amen.
You need no other substitute. Christ has done it for you.
Amen.
Isaiah prophesied long of what Christ would do from Isaiah 53:5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for iniquities, chastised for our peace was upon him. With the stripes were healed. Now follow me for a moment.
Thank you, Lord.
Mark this down. Wounded here means broken open. He was broken open. He was broken. Have you ever been broken? I've been broken. Have you ever been broken? I mean broken. Where you're in tears before God. We don't see much weeping today. We see a bit of crocodile tears now and again. Like a wee child, you know, when he's huffing a bit with a mom and crocodile tears. He's wanting something. But I'm talking real tears. The Bible talks about crying unto the Lord.
Amen.
The Bible says Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. Oh, that God would give us men that would weep. When Paul preached on the eagle, he said the eagle was a bird that cried. It lifted its head up to God and the tears come out of it and it wept to God. And the word of God says, I will look unto the hills when whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord who made the heavens and the earth. Wounded, broken, bruised here means crushed and smitten. Jesus was bruised, broken, crushed and smitten for me and you. For our iniquities here means perversity and evil thinking. All of us had evil thoughts. All of us had perversity. Some of us came from the guttermost. All of us did. Not some of us, all of us. Maybe you think somebody's in jail or a prostitute or a homosexual, they're very filthy and dirty. Not one of us was one bit better than them.
Right.
Not one of us.
Right.
And if you think you were, there's something wrong. You have to understand your state before you can be saved.
That's right.
If a man doesn't think he needs saved, he never can be saved. I remember some time years ago, and some of his brethren remembered, we heard a man came and preached, and he preached he could redeem himself. Well, I'm sorry, he couldn't redeem himself. None of one of us could lift up our own bootstraps.
Right.
We needed the Lord. We were lost without him.
Amen.
We were filthy. We were unclean, but a worm, Jacob said. The dust thou comest to the dust thou go back. That's the Bible. We needed to be saved. And God can save the vilest offender who truly believes.
That's right.
That moment from Jesus.
Hallelujah.
A pardon receives.
Pardon.
Never look at your son and say he's a drunkard.
That's right.
Well, why don't you prophesy a bit more death over him?
That's it.
Why don't you look at him and say, I see him as a son of God?
Amen.
Why don't you look at that weak girl and say, I see her as a someone that'll sing in the church?
Right.
Prophesy.
Amen.
Say it what you want to happen. Say it.
Amen. Amen.
Well, I don't think this. I don't think that. Negativity. Negativity.
That's right.
That's negativity won't do nothing. You need no faith to be negative.
That's right.
But it takes men and women of faith to speak out.
Amen.
And say, he be saved.
Amen.
How do you know it? Just know it. I'm saying it. People in this room and they know it's the truth. Ever before they get saved, I said they're gonna come.
That's right.
I believed it.
Amen.
With all my heart, I believed it.
Thank you, Jesus.
And they're here this morning.
Amen.
You need to speak it. You need to believe it. Claim your grandchildren. Claim them. Claim them. Claim them before God. Say they're gonna be saved. They're gonna be preachers, song leaders, prophets, evangelists. Claim them.
Amen. Amen.
Pray them in. From the fields of sin, pray them in. Hallelujah. Stripes here means wounds. And I've preached so many times about the five wounds of Christ. That he received the five worst medical wounds can be inflicted upon a human. Christ Jesus received them on the cross for me and you.
That's right.
Do you think he's done enough for you?
Amen.
I think he has. Our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, was broken open. Shed his blood, Matthew 27:4, 1 Peter 1:19, to overcome our rebellious actions. And all of us were rebellious.
Right.
You know, the Bible says that sin of witchcraft is as a spirit of rebellion. You know, some people think God's doing nothing. It's always God's doing nothing. Maybe there's not many of us here. But I know a church that had 300 names in it before the lockdown. And the fella, one of the main men in it the other day, was telling me it's almost empty. People have no patience to wait. They wanted service, they wanted worship, but they weren't allowed to do it under the rules. So they went somewhere else. And I know it's been a hard time. But we have to go forward.
Amen.
Forward for God. But you know one thing about it, the real thing's at the end of it. Those that's come through it all, that didn't have the services, are still here. Because they had a real relationship with Jesus Christ. And when you have a real relationship with Jesus Christ, you can separate you on an island and you still can serve God.
Amen.
You
That's it.
God wants men and women that'll serve him.
Yes, amen.
Dixon Gandozi, you know, Brother Dixon, and I traveled with him. Dixon was mightily used of God. And people talk about ministries. And I hear them talking about men and great ministries. I want to tell you that wee man was used of God as much as any man I've ever seen or even read about. Hundreds of churches he started. He saw four people raised from the dead. I was with him when he prayed for Bishop in Dublin. And he prophesied in our church in Banbridge that he's coming out of a coma and he's going to live and not die. That man's a family of the dead and he's living.
Amen.
I was there when there's a man with a hole in his foot and he went to Belgium for an operation and the top doctors couldn't fix him, but God fixed him with one prayer.
Amen. Amen.
I want to tell you, God's real. God is real. But why I'm telling you that is, they had 500 people. They were arrested because the women wouldn't dance when the king or the president of the country made the whole nation dance to the worldly dance. The women that were saved refused to dance half naked. They wouldn't do it. They refused. And they put them in jail. And when they had them in jail, and you know, some of the African women's hair's not long, but they never cut their hair. They believed they should have long hair. That God gave them their hair for the covering. And they tried to cut the women's hair off because of they believed that. And the scissors wouldn't cut their hair. And that wee pastor went down and he said, jail me and let them go. But when the persecution came, the 500 reduced to 50. Now I know a lot of people, oh well, I would do it. You'd be surprised what would happen when the pressure comes.
Right.
Boast not yourself of tomorrow. If you know not what the day brings forth.
Right.
50 of them was left from the 500. But after it all was over, the church multiplied overnight. 50 were real. God wants us to be real. God wants us to go forward with him. And as you take this communion, you need to know this morning that it's your salvation and your healing is in this communion. Now I know these are only emblems. I don't mean physically this bread. It's an emblem. It's a remembrance.
Amen.
Of what your Passover lamb done for you.
Amen.
But as you take this in remembrance when you eat this bread, think of the body was broken for your healing. Bruised for your healing.
Right.
By his stripes you're healed. When you take this wine, think of the precious blood of Jesus.
Right.
Shed for the remission of the sins of many. I believe what Big Ian Paisley said. He said the blood doesn't congeal. Doesn't dry up. I've heard a lot of preachers over the world preach against the blood. And they say it's only a chemistry. We don't preach in the chemistry. We have moved on. I'm sorry. Without the blood, there's no remission of sins. That's Hebrews. No remission without the blood. It's the precious blood of Jesus. I love that verse. The precious blood of Jesus cleanses me from all sin and all unrighteousness. Let me turn to 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. And Brother Edward's going to help for Brother Mark this morning. And I have broke the bread before the service. Now I'll tell you why I did it. Because I washed my hands first before I did it. But I don't want somebody saying, you know, he's up preaching and he broke that bread and his hands wasn't washed. So I'm taking every precaution. All what's going on. I want us to do everything we can. You know, we've a part to do as well. Isn't that right? We have the church space. We're doing whatever we can. But we're trusting the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Now, if you're safe and you're walking with the Lord, you're welcome to have communion with us this morning. And I'm not here to examine you. And you're certainly not here to examine me. But the Word of God says, let a man examine himself.
Amen.
If you feel you're right with God, that's between you and God. Verse 23, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup. When he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthy eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are sickly among you, and many sleep, which means dead. For if we should judge ourselves, we should not be judged. And we must judge ourselves. Judge yourselves by the word of God. Line up like the lava in the tabernacle in the outer court was made from the looking glasses of the women of Israel, and it was like a mirror full of water. When you looked into it, you saw your reflection. And when you look into the word of God, it's like a mirror. And God wants us to have our lives clean with the word of God. We're to judge ourselves. Verse 32, but when we are judged, we are not chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Wherefore, my brethren, when you come together to eat, tarry one for another. And if any man hunger, let him eat at home, that ye come not together on the condemnation, and the rest will I set in order when I come. Let us bow our heads, and then maybe a brother could lead in just a few courses. We're sitting if he wants, but feel free and go to do communion. Then I want us just to have a little time of worship after that. If somebody wants to pray and give thanks to the Lord, I want you to be free to do that. We're going to do the communion, then you can pray. It's just coming 5 to 12, and I've tried to keep it short. Father, I thank you this morning for your precious word. I pray you bless this bread which is broken in remembrance of what you've done for us. And bless this wine, Lord. And Lord, as we take it, let us examine ourselves. Lord, if I've said anything amiss or out of place, forgive me, Lord, for I would not mean or want to do it. But I pray, Lord, that you'll wash every one of us in the precious blood of the Lamb of God. Cleanse us now, I pray, as you bless these elements, Lord, as the people partake, and bless the people and strengthen them. Bless all the boys and all the girls and all the babies, Lord, in Jesus' precious name. Lord, our hearts desire to see every one of them saved and serving you in Jesus' name. Praise God. Let's just be in an attitude of prayer for Brother Mark and Brother Edward's going to help this morning as they come and we do the communion service.
Let's stand if they will sing that hymn, then as we come to a close, 717.